I'm going to jump now from this oral communications period to the Food Now Bombs meal a few days before, because those are actual voices that haven't even gotten to the mic to speak to City Council. And I may return to this oral communications period, as well as what I call the sidewalk shouter, the individual who felt empowered to direct angrily and threateningly a homeless person sitting in front of the Sub Rosa Cafe and the bike church area on the sidewalk, demanding he leave, claiming that he, the housed resident, it was his property and he could order him to go and throw his property away if he wanted. It's quite a speech. It's online. If you go to Santa Cruz County Homeless Advocates, I think you can find the video of it. The guy himself or his friend took a video of it. He was so apparently proud of his bullying that he wanted to do that. I'm going to play that on Sunday, and you can review it then. But here's a little something from the Food Not Bombs meal when I checked in. I guess it was on Saturday, last Saturday. So I'm down here at the Food Not Bombs meal. It's May 25th, around 5:10. I'm talking with
Jim.
Hey, Jim, your man who's having some housing problems.
Yeah, they're trying to try me for an eviction notice two times after the judge acquitted me. They're trying to put me back for a second trial.
Who is doing this?
Encompass Community Services at 380 Ensenal.
How long have you been acquainted with or, victimized by Encompass?
I've been acquainted with them for 23 years.
Huh.
Yes, 23.
And so you've been living in a Section 8 housing that time?
Most of the time. Yeah, they started Section 8 after I had moved in. In 2001, they had started Section 8.
On average, what are you paying? What were you paying then, and what are you paying now?
We were paying $255 before Section 8, and then after Section 8, we're paying about $80-something for the same unit, because the subsidy pays the difference.
And what other people pay who aren't paying Section 8?
They pay the same thing. Oh, no, I don't know. The only Section 8 people live in our unit.
Okay, how many people are in your unit?
There's 9 of us in a unit in 4 buildings.
And how is the housing accommodation? Is it in good repair? Is the landlord keeping up with it?
Yes, it's adequate. The repair of the buildings is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And they just want to... They want to try for an eviction two times, and I don't want to...
Why do they want to evict you?
It's a complicated politics with 1400 Emmeline, and they don't want to tell me real well. So we have to fight it in court again.
Now, you've gotten some assistance.
Yes, I have an attorney.
And this is one because you have such a... Are you such a rich man, you've been able to hire an attorney?
I got a cheap, low-income attorney. She's pretty good.
And you've been to court once already.
Yes, I was put in court and acquitted of the eviction need, but I had to clean up the doorways because they had clutter.
How long ago was this last eviction attempt?
It was in November of 2018.
And you were able to, I remember you came to the Huff meeting and you talked about that. You got some success, you got a successful eviction. What did the judge say? A successful defense, I should say.
The judge did not have enough evidence against my unit to... evict me. He didn't have any paperwork or something, so he reduced it to the doorways.
And did you then deal with the doorways?
Yes, we cleaned up the doorways and got it, and it was passed, approved.
And so now, about 6 months later, Encompass is at it again?
Yes, they're at it again. They want the stereo in front of the windows to be removed, but that was okayed by the judge.
And what is it? Is it a noise issue, or they don't like the way it blocks the sunlight, or they don't like the color, or what's the deal?
It's not really clear, but they claim I got clutter, and they want to rig it with the housing authority, the two of them together.
And are you the only person who's having this problem, or are there other people in your unit who have similar concerns?
There's some other problems, but I'm the only first one. I'm the big one.
And how long have you been such a troublemaker?
Oh, I don't know. It goes back maybe 10 years.
And has anyone else complained about your... I mean, do neighbors say, oh, that Jim, he's so clutterish? Or is this... I mean, where does this come from, this clutter complaint?
It comes from the maintenance men and the management.
And what's your sense of it? Are you a cluttersome person, Jim?
I think I'm reasonable. They have neglected the unit and won't tell me. And they want to do some kind of manipulative politics. And they want to see if I can handle them. There's something with the politics.
But they want to get rid of you.
Yeah, they have different reasons for. They're just, you know, they're in some kind of deal with some other agency. I don't know. Some other people's in them.
Now, I understand rental assistance person, Cynthia Berger, has tried to help you.
Yeah, Cynthia Berger has helped me a few times, and she was pretty good. She talks to me and helps me.
Did she give you any analysis about what your next move should be?
She probably has something in mind that she could come up with if I consult with her again. I've got a time frame short. I have to go this by Friday. We have to decide something with the attorney.
Today is Saturday. It's next week.
Yeah, it's this next week. That would be the May 31st.
Is there a court date set on any of this?
No, we have to discuss how to handle the attempted eviction. It's a paper that it reads what they wanted. So we have to see how I respond. But I'm going to let it go.
And we've been talking with?
Jim.
Thanks, Jim. I'm talking with
Travis DeFonso.
And Travis, I see you're here with your friendly dog. At least that dog is waving its tail.
Oh, yes, she's very friendly.
What is her name?
Zelda.
What is she holding in her mouth there?
She just got a nice, beautiful free bone from Food Not Bombs.
Wow, I thought Food Not Bombs was a vegan group.
Uh-oh. It'll be between us.
I'll keep that on the down.
Listening.
And you live in your van?
Yes.
How long have you been in Santa Cruz?
About a month and a half this time. I've been through before.
And is there any difference between now and the last time you were through?
It's actually been many several years since I've been here, and I was not in this situation, so can't really compare it.
Not much contrast.
No.
Any hassles or interesting stories or observations about the view from the van?
Definitely. I mean, the tent city was quite a shock, and then
the Ross camp.
Yeah, the Ross camp, and
the demolition of the Ross camp.
Yes, which I don't know how everyone's dealing with it, you know, and I am concerned about them. But
you know, people who've been in the Ross camp who've moved.
I know people who were in it, but not who moved. One night I was helping another friend who was sick at the hospital, and somebody asked for a ride and to the Ross camp, so I brought them there. You know, but yeah, I don't know. I hope everyone's dealing with it okay. I feel very blessed to have a van. You know, yeah, I get to do odd jobs and things like that. So,
are you parked on public property or on private property?
I'm parked on the street. Sometimes I'll park near Ocean Street. Sometimes I'll park off of Soquel near Safeway. Yeah.
Any hassles from midnight vigilantes?
We've had some experiences with people stealing gas cans, sticking their hands in the car, but nothing from police, fortunately.
And are these eager hands, you think, from folks who are poor or folks who are nearby housed folks or somebody else?
I do think it was from people who are poor, but yeah.
The title gets longer and longer every time I
rewrite. I'm running out of questions. Do you have anything you'd like to ask yourself?
Well, I just really appreciate Santa Cruz for being as open as it is. I know that there is a huge debacle going on all across the country. I was living out of a pack and just hitchhiking around the country for several years, and everywhere was getting shut down. Berkeley got People's Park, you know, all the trees were cut down, and I slept in that park, you know. And
when was the last time you did that?
Maybe a year and a half ago. I spent the last few months, I was actually traveling with the Native American chiefs, so I've done a lot of studying in spiritual ways, and, you know, all this, I think this pressure and this change is leading to a major societal change. It's a symptom of, you know, our lack of understanding that we have to take care of each other. I just read an article today, an MIT economist said America is actually sliding back into being a developing nation country, not a first world country, because of how many people are homeless, job insecurity. And so I think, honestly, if people would just, you know, the people who have do not understand the struggles of the people who have not, And if they could find it in their hearts to allow people to live as simply and as with little money as possible, if that means living in their RVs, if it means sleeping out and camping, you know, it's time for us to speak with our hearts and create that for America.
Are you intending to continue in Santa Cruz or to move on?
I am going to Sundance in Iowa, and I will be coming back.
And when does Sundance happen?
It's June 21st is the third day of Sundance. We always do it around the solstice.
What is Sundance?
Sundance is a Lakota ceremony in which an entire community gets together. Some people are dancers and fasters. They dance and pray for the community. Some people are the supporters. They're eating and supporting the dancers. They're singers, and it's 4 days of praying for the people.
This is something you've done before?
I've been to it before. I've been a supporter. I'll be a supporter this year, and hopefully the year after I'll actually be in there dancing.
No spikes through the central muscles near the heart, nothing like that?
Oh, they pierce. They do pierce. Yeah, they still pierce. You know, some of the people in our circle, especially the women, are thinking that it's not really as necessary anymore. It was more of a wartime thing. I don't know. We'll see if that changes. Our chief is very cool. He lets women on their moon in ceremonies, which was never allowed. There is a large fear of that.
No vaginas allowed previously.
No bleeding vaginas allowed.
Oh, well, you know, that's known.
Then they were afraid. They were like, oh, you can get them sick and hurt people. But a spirit came into the lodge one time, and she said she went through time all the way back in time, all the way forward in time, and there's no truth to it whatsoever. In fact, women on their moon are more powerful than men, and they should be the ones leading the ceremony, or at least in there with us and helping.
Are the women, will they be leading the ceremony at Sundance this year?
They will be in there on their moon. We do have a moon camp if they want to go, but it's totally optional. Women are allowed to sing. I mean, it's a really empowering place, a really equalizing place for men and women. And these red roadways, you know, they were illegal until 1976, and it's because they had massive power. They were studied by the government. They were very afraid of them. Did you know that the chanupa, which is the pipe, the sacred pipe, helped us win World War II? They used the sacred chanupa, and they prayed, and they asked for an end for World War II, and I think it was later that day, or maybe 4 days later, where they declared an end to the war. So there's many sacred ways that are coming through, and these are all about the earth people, you know. This is all everything. All these things are connected because we've lost our connection to each other. We've lost the connection, you know. We say, oh, there's a poor person, there's a rich person, you know. I mean, to even have a rich person while there are so many poor people is kind of a mockery of.
In the Sundance ceremony, is this on take place on an Indian reservation or nation?
Not this particular one. We do have, and there are ones on reservations, but this one is in Boone, Iowa, at a person's property. And our chief, who is from the Yankton Sioux Reservation, Chief Golden Light Eagle, comes and he leads the ceremony for us.
Because I know that on reservations there's rumored to be an income disparity just like there is elsewhere.
Massive. They live in abject poverty.
I mean, there are some who are very wealthy and some who are very poor on the reservation.
That depends. It's not so much within a reservation that there is that. It's between the reservations. So some reservations have casinos that people are getting checks for $20,000 a month. Other reservations don't have casinos that are making money, and they live in total poverty. So,
but your answer, of course, is more casinos.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, keep on gambling. No, it's a hard thing for me to watch, to think, you know, I mean, they have pictures of their elders and their ancestors on the wall, and I can only imagine what they're thinking, watching them smoke and drink and sit there until they're, you know.
Which people get wholly addicted to gambling.
Yeah, and the drugs are invading their communities too. Meth has totally invaded their community. I mean, it's, you know.
What about this community you're going to?
This community is strong. They're if the people who have done.
Going to interrupt this personal account by Travis of his experiences with or his opinions about the ceremony is going to, because I want to go back to our community. Things I do every week in our community is I go to the Conscience in Action and Huff meeting, which happens on Wednesday at 11 o'clock at the Sub Rosa. And at that meeting, Phil Posner, who along with Nick Whitehead started the Conscience in Action group last year, has been pursuing Parks and Rec boss Tony Elliott, who has allowed the Loudoun Nelson bathrooms to remain shut to disabled people, people with medical problems, poor people, members of the general community, unless they can prove that they are members of an event happening at the Loudoun Nelson Center. And being at the park and, I don't know, using the swings is not enough. Unless I think they make an exception for middle-class children. Maybe they make an exception for poor children. I don't know. But they certainly don't make an exception for people the way that these used to be open bathrooms. And we've documented the fact that there's been no real vandalism justification or behavior justifications for this. We've been in discussions with Elliot and his Parks and Rec boss predecessors. He took over as boss last fall. And he's, I think now he's defending expenditures on the golf courses up in the golf course drive. I'm not sure, but the large city run or city leased and to some extent city-funded golf area that supposedly makes money for the city but involves a lot of water use, which Drew Glover was challenging, I guess, at the last council meeting. But in any case, our issue with Tony and Phil Posner's issue was to get him to reopen the bathrooms and to get him to address the issues which he's been ignoring for the last 6 months. So everybody else can hold their water, piss in the bushes, or, risk becoming a sex offender by crapping outside, as many homeless people have no option to do other than to do that, specifically and particularly because of the closing down of the Ross camp, which involved the removal of the 8 porta-potties, including for the first time actually disabled porta-potties, although I think there were a couple of disabled porta-potties around town. There still are, I think, 3 total 24-hour porta-potties, not bathrooms. I must correct myself. Still in existence in the downtown area. I don't know if they're open 24 hours or just open at night. But there certainly aren't the ones that were available for those people out there. And now that they've been dispersed, there's been no replacement of those facilities. So here is the letter that Phil Posner wrote to, or as I guess is passed around, is going to be sending to Tony Elliott. One of the first conscience actions that moved us to action was the issue of insufficient bathrooms in Santa Cruz and some of the public ones, as at Loudoun, closed to the public. We have met with you twice, I think the first time last November, and then 2 months ago, with specific suggestions that address some of Parks and Rec's legitimate concerns about destructive behavior in public bathrooms. Phil has I think leans more to the gives more credibility to these Parks and Rec arguments than I do, though we think that some of that is exaggerated. I would say it is significantly distorted in order to justify the closing of the bathrooms that happened when people from the San Lorenzo Park, when it was closed last March or late in February, migrated some of them to Laurel Park, and that was simply to exclude people who were sleeping in and around the Loudoun Nelson Center. Phil's letter continues, "Last week I also called and left a message and still have not heard from you. Yesterday at our Conscience in Action and Huff with Huff and Food Not Bombs, our members voted to move from conscience to action, which may include placing used toilets as a demonstration of insufficient bathrooms for homeless individuals throughout the city, because the city of Santa Cruz Parks and Rec Department is not responding to the suffering of homeless individuals who sometimes have to do their business in bushes pretty much regularly." I don't know about sometimes. Phil is a little, well, maybe at night, generally at night and sometimes during the day. "A situation made all the more prevalent because of the recent closing of the Ross camp," as I mentioned before. "To have put used toilets throughout through the city with a letter to the Santa Cruz Sentinel in a press conference explaining why we took this action will be a lot of work. But when conscience and suffering is ignored, action is required. Believe me, we would rather work this out without having to resort to a toilet action, but we will act if we don't hear from you. Sincerely, Philip Posner. And, of course, I've suggested that there's probably something more dramatic, like having people essentially deposit their fecal and urinary products with the city council or the Parks and Rec Department, since they don't seem to be willing to provide the facilities to do this in different places in the city, might be a little more direct, in a way dramatic, but also very utilitarian. But that so far has not been adopted. All of us middle-class ninnies who are nervous about, you know, bathroom standards and offending the middle class don't want to do anything like that, at least. I sure don't want to do anything like that, but I think it probably has been necessary for quite a while, and we haven't done it. We'll see the depth of the silence we get from Tony Elliott, the head of Parks and Rec, on this issue, or whether he responds to Phil's entreaty.
Stop the trumpet! Build a wall 10 feet taller, only makes your hands look smaller. By legalizing the gun, you get shot by everyone. We gotta save the world. First, we gotta stop the trumpet. Trumpet.
That was Noah Rosanne's Stop the Trumpet. It ends with a vote urging, as though voting is going to stop the trumpet when all you got is Trump hard and Trump soft to vote for. Kind of a difficult choice for people of integrity to make. You actually have to actually vote for whatever you want when you get to the ballot box, but it's what you're doing between now and then that counts in terms of organizing standing up to illegitimate power and insisting on real democracy where you are that counts. And now let's jump to the Red Church from about a week ago, well, 3 or 4 days ago, actually.
I'm at the Red Church. It's about 6. I'm talking with
Chris.
Chris, you say the Rangers are on the rampage, or
Stacy Green.
What's happening?
I don't know. I guess the cops are trying to teach them how to be cops. They actually say it says on their uniform, Santa Cruz Police.
Yeah, they've taken over the Rangers. That's what I hear. Any hassles from your perspective, or have you been okay? What's
well, they're usually busy hassling someone else, luckily. But, yeah, I just get by with the skin of my teeth. I mean, you can't even really go around that area anymore. They're policing it so hard.
What area are you talking about?
The highway. You know, the camp, the old camp.
Talking about the old Ross camp?
Yeah.
Gotcha. You were an old Ross camp resident at one time?
Yeah.
How much of your stuff, if any, did you lose when you had to move?
Oh, like half of it.
And any valuable items?
Oh, yeah, my bike.
And have you found a place to sleep since then?
Yeah, but they just keep moving me around like a pawn.
Have you been given any tickets since then?
Yeah.
Tickets for?
Camping.
And Rangers or cops give tickets?
Both.
And how many tickets since Ross closed would you say you've gotten?
Well, just one so far.
And do they give you a legal place to go?
They suggested the encampment where they lock you inside at night.
But that's usually full, I understand.
Yeah, it's full.
But Did they try that?
No. It's full. But they try to, you know, say that, but there's no room.
And we've been talking with
Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Miguel De Leon.
And Lito Que Pasa.
Well, they've taken my fourth vehicle from me this year with all of my equipment in it. And then they wonder why I don't have any recordings done or why I'm not out doing any shows, because anytime I start getting close to doing any recordings, they take all the equipment and everything I got to go do any shows.
What were the circumstances of the most recent seizure?
Well, when they took my van a month or two ago, I had just bought it, and it wasn't, you know, all the way registered, ready to go yet. I still needed to do a lot of work on it, so they took it. Everything in it wouldn't let me get nothing out. And this time, you know, I got caught up with a little bit of stuff, but there's no reason to take my vehicle, you know what I mean? I had friends there that could have drove it away. They would refuse.
Where were you parked?
Out on Highway 9. There was no reason for them to mess with me to begin with. You know what I mean? They came up and said they were looking for me.
Who was it? Cops, Highway Patrol?
Sheriff this time, Sheriff.
How many involved?
Two.
Any names?
I don't know any other names, nor do I care to.
Did you get cited or just get your vehicle stolen?
No, I got arrested and my vehicle stolen.
And are you facing anything in court?
Yeah, they're trying to say a possession of sales, but it ain't no sales. I don't do any sales.
What are they accusing you of possessing?
That's private till after the case, but
fair enough.
Still, they don't need to clean me out of all my effort and all my work, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
14 times in the last 10 years, I've gotten close to reaching some goals, and they clean me out of everything. Like, just because I don't have enough money to own anything, I guess. You know, I don't have enough money to pay them so I can own the shit that I gather. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
It's off the hook, man.
And we have been talking, of course, with
Miguel De Leon.
Thank you, Miguel.
Yep.
Yeah, Mr. Maraganda.
Yes.
I was at the crow's nest, and I had this pie at midnight,
yes.
And I had a potato, and I had cheese on a potato in foil,
yes.
With bacon,
yes.
And I cooked it in the fire.
Yum, yum.
They pull out my tire.
Typical.
Okay. The sheriff, not the sheriff, they don't go there. If he didn't go there, the ranger.
The ranger.
And said,
for your own safety, sir.
And then I went to take a shit.
The potato would have made you feel
bad. Went to the bathroom, and then my bike and everything was gone. I thought he took it in his truck. About a month later, the neighborhood brought my bicycle back. And brand new bags. And whiskey.
What about your potato?
I inhaled it with a beer. Half a beer. I washed my ass with the rest of it.
Did everything turn out all right then?
Well, I washed my ass with the rest of the beer.
Fair enough.
And my hair.
And we've been talking with?
Mendonca, the
of course.
Terrorist. Number one. They called me the one who got the most...
Let's not brag. No.
They
come
got,
on, there are plenty of terrorists around here.
Oh, I don't work for y'all. I'm the one terrorist.
You're the terror of the terrorists. Thank you, sir.
I had from the beach from Mr. Maragonda for 3 years.
Years? From a judge or from a cop?
Maragonda. He's a traitor. They're both
judge
a traitor.
Maragonda.
You know, traitor? Like, you know, like, you know, Stalin, Hitler, a traitor. The
yeah.
communists in Portugal, we had him overnight. We take, you know, took the capital, communists, we hung them the next day.
We will tell more of this
yeah,
later
no
while I give out flyers in line.
Just,
to this.
Hey, just document it. Look my criminal record. It's got every word I said, look at my criminal record and my name, it's on there.
Indeed. Let me give out this flyer.
This
fine woman.
What are you
going to
do about it?
Nothing.
I'm going to get
hey, what's up, Ricardo?
Those rangers are beating the bushes, going out looking in the bushes to go get people.
Any specifics?
Yeah, I mean, they're taking people's stuff.
And did they take your stuff recently?
They took a friend of mine's stuff. I had to hide all my stuff as they climb out onto a island in the middle of the river.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a whole crew of them, you know, to go get one girl who got a couple of tickets, and she's obviously, you know, not...
Did they get her?
Well, yeah, she barely got out without them giving her or taking her to jail, but they gave her, you know, that one ticket, then another one, when obviously there's something wrong with her, you know, and the quality of the male rangers, anyway, the women rangers are smarter, and they are suffering from the chauvinism of that kind of... That kind of
we'll be
misogyny.
Picking up on this after your meal. We've been talking
yes.
with
Ricardo Lopez.
And in terms of folks who want to provide social assistance, I don't know where people can go. I guess Food Not Bombs is a good place to go if you want to deliver clothing. The really free market is happening this coming Saturday at the Sub Rosa from 12 to 3. That'll be the day after tomorrow. I guess June 1st. And if you want to assist the River Street, 1220 River Street, I'm kind of advised that they're still looking for donations of water. Or the city can't provide that, I'm not entirely sure. But the real issue, of course, is there's no central spot for people to deliver food to anymore now that the Ross Camp is gone. At least for the Ross Camp. I mean, the Ross Camp was only a place for about 200 or 300 people, but it was a place for at least for that number. And for people who wanted to come and visit and hang out there, and that you can't do that now, of course, at the River Street camp or at the Coral Street area, although I guess nearby you can on the tracks and so forth if you wish to. Risk seizure of property, harassment by police, ticketing, and so forth, which, of course, is the perennial problem for the majority of homeless people in Santa Cruz. Now back to the Red Church.
Your neck of the woods.
Oh, my God. No.
I've had three trespassing tickets in the last week.
Your name, sir?
Todd Jones.
Todd, where did you get these tickets?
Well, I got one over there right next to McDonald's on Ocean at the, like, old Midas place where they tune up things and they do tires. And then I got one on the sidewalk on Seabright, but over a foot and a half on this commercial area with no sign anywhere. And then I got another one, let me think of where it was. Near Dale Williams in that little alcove there, the musicians were playing, they all left and everybody was happy. But because I'm not a musician, when I was just standing there still, that was one. So I got three of them.
Cops or ranger?
One ranger, two cops.
And were you on public or private property?
The sidewalk, I think, is public, so I would say all of those. The next to McDonald's on Ocean Street was the only one that was off of it, but it's doesn't have any signs that say no trespassing, and it's a business where you, during the day you go in and get your stuff, and right next to where you bring your early bird key to leave your car overnight, so that's where people are trafficking there all the time. So I don't think that any of it was private.
Did you have any conversation with these people?
The police or whoever? The conversation was, what did I do wrong and why is it that you have to do this?
And their response?
Oh, here's your ticket, sir.
Charming. Is this an upsurge in ticketing for you, or is this something you've been experiencing before?
Well, I get too many, but and I never got any. Maybe about 8 a month for a year and a half. It sounds like a bad guy, but that's I don't
You're
get.
Obviously, a criminal.
I'm never overnight in jail. Unless they do something illegal to me, which they did that too, but that's another story.
And we've been talking with
Todd Jones.
Thanks, Todd.
Go.
He takes off. That was
prime time.
Musical Mike is looking for private time.
This guy knows before I do.
Give me your thoughts, Travis.
Well, one issue, you're holding that upside down, right?
No, am I? Is it upside down? It's not clear to me.
I can't tell either.
But I think we can hear you in any case.
I'm just a little upset about the issue too, because there's a lot of people that have been kicked out of their parking spots, going to other parking spots, but they find people that are homeless sleeping there. They're not happy with those people sleeping there, so they tend to call the police on them, which is why I was kicked out of my sleeping spot at 1 in the morning on Saturday and only had 2 hours to sleep till I had to go to work for Food Not Bombs.
Bummer. And what about Sunday?
Sunday? Sunday, I didn't sleep at all.
So you're a little sleep log.
It doesn't matter, though, because I'm still an outlaw and an RV and person that lives in their car driving society.
Well,
they can call the police on me and I can get kicked out of where I'm sleeping, but they can continue sleeping in their cars 4 feet and 5 feet away from me.
And you find this has been happening?
I find it being very unfair for the last 10 to 15 years.
So you feel it's unfair to ground sleepers?
Yes, very unfair.
I would think it's unfair to both of you, but I hear you.
Why don't we just all go to a camp, right?
Or just all be left alone to sleep peacefully if you need to.
That's not going to happen. We're eyesores.
Well, certainly, particularly you with that hat. California Redwoods?
I can't help it. I love them.
The hats?
No, the Redwoods.
Ah, true enough. And we've been listening to the thoughts of
Travis.
Thank you, Travis.
Pretty much wraps it up for this shorter edition of Bathrobus Pier's Broadsides. Probably back on Sunday, if you listen in, you may hear me. You may hear me flashing back to some earlier time. You may hear you if you're making a report about what's going on outside. You can give a call to me at 423-4833 and give me such a report. Or you can check in at the Food Not Bombs California Homeless Union table, which will be around from, well, I'm hoping they'll be there from 4 to 6, Saturday and Sunday, out by the main post office, where you can also munch and chat at the same time. Thanks for listening to this edition, and stay in touch and give us your news for the next edition. Until then.